chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. We're going to look at that verse, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And Father, we just thank you this morning for the Word of God, the King James Bible. We thank you that we have a perfect Scripture, a perfect Savior, Father. Father, and we thank you that we all have a prepared place in heaven waiting for us that have trusted thy Son. Father, we just pray now if there be a lost soul today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they would turn from their sin and turn to the Savior and receive him, because to receive the Lord Jesus Christ is to receive life eternal. Father, I just pray that you'd help me to speak the things only that you'd have me to speak. Help me to speak clearly, Father, and we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory for whatever you'll choose to do this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Christians should be noted for their position affecting their disposition. Now, we all know what a disposition is. You know, some people have a sunny disposition, they're always happy, and so forth and so on. But our position as Christians should affect our disposition. As a Christian person's position or standing in Christ, they are born again, number one. We talked about that in Sunday school. If you're a Christian this morning, your position is that you're accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted in the Beloved. If you're a Christian this morning, you're also a son of God. You're born of God, praise God. If you're a Christian this morning, your position is one of being complete in him. You're complete in Jesus Christ. And also, if you're a Christian this morning, you are an heir of God. You're an heir of God, baptized into one body, members of his body, quickened together with Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. You're also the temple of God if you're a Christian. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise this morning. Now, all of these things are just a few of the many attributes that we have to describe our position or standing as Christians in Jesus Christ. Because of our position in Christ, we should, as Christians, have a thankful disposition at all times. We who have been saved by God's marvelous grace have more to be thankful than anyone else. We should not only be thankful for our salvation, but we should look for things to be thankful for each and every day. Every one of us here this morning has so much to be thankful for this morning. It's a tragedy that each and every day that we do not take the time to thank the Lord for the many blessings that he has blessed us with. Instead of being content, as Paul says in Philippians, in whatever state we are in, the average Christian is uncontent and unthankful for what the Lord has given him. The Apostle Paul, over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he listed a bunch of characteristics of the last days, when perilous times that we're in. And he listed one of them in 2 Timothy chapter 3. One of these characteristics in verse 2 that he listed is unthankful. Unthankful. Doesn't that, if you think about it, describe the days that we are living in right now? Unthankful. If you think about it, unthankful. We are living in unthankful times. Children are unthankful for what their parents give them. You know, if you think about it, children are unthankful with their parents. Was growing up, I learned not to be unthankful because I appreciated what I got, and if I was unthankful for it, my father reminded me to be thankful for it in a certain way. We won't get into that. But adults are also, children are unthankful, adults are unthankful, employees are unthankful, employees and employers are unthankful, our national and world leaders are unthankful. Everybody is unthankful today. You know, instead of being thankful for what God has given them, most folks today, including Christians, have the attitude. This is the attitude that they have. They have the attitude, this is coming to me. This is what I deserve. It's my right to have a good job. It's my right to have a good education. It's my right to have good medical benefits, food, and a good home. Well, you're wrong. The only right that a human being has is to die. That's the only right that you have on the face of this earth, is to die. Everything else, God has given you. Everything else, the good job, if you have a good job this morning, praise God. All of these things, God has given you. It's not something that's coming to you, but God has given it to you out of his infinite mercy and his grace and his love for you this morning. So number one this morning, we should thank God, number one, in everything. We should thank God in everything. The emphasis in everything is what we want to place. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says in verse 18, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So notice what God says, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. Not just once a year, like here we're upon the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, and now it's this one time of year where people get together, family, it's a very family-oriented a holiday, praise God. People get together, they haven't seen one another for some time, and they give thanks. Hopefully they give thanks to the Lord for the few things that they can remember at the time. You know, but that's not the way it should be. Often you'll hear Christians say, how do you know the will of God for your life? How do you know the will of God for your life? The way to know God's will for your life is to read His Word, and the Bible clearly tells us, this morning we just read, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In other words, you and I cannot be in the will of God unless you and I develop a thankful attitude. You know, life is filled with many blessings. You know, life is filled with many blessings. I opened my eyes this morning, praise God. I opened my eyes to the sun, thanks God. I can see this morning. I can breathe this morning, thank God. Every day, there are things that surround us that we should be thankful for. But you would never know it by all the complaining that we hear going on. You know, I think the things around us every day that we should be thankful for should be called taken for granted blessings. Taken for granted blessings. You know, taken for granted blessings are blessings we receive each day and don't appreciate it until we're at the point of losing them, if you think about it. How about good health? You know, we should praise God if you have good health. I mean, we all have some, what we call chronic ailments that plague us, but overall, we have good health. We're able to get up in the morning. We're able to, say, get into our automobile and drive to work or drive to wherever and do basically what we want to do, you know, praise God. Or even if you can't do that, at least you can get up in the morning. You know, say you are in a wheelchair, but praise God you're still alive this morning. Or praise God, you know, that you can get around, be it in a wheelchair. I think of even my mother now with the stroke, with a walker. Praise God for the walker that she can hold on to and get around the house. Amen. So a good health. Let's praise God for good health every morning. Praise God that I can get up and breathe. Amen. You know what I'm saying? That I can breathe half decently. Maybe one of the nostrils is closed that morning because I have a head cold. But praise God, I get up. We all have good health, amen. Or how about a family? Praise God for the family. Praise God for a Christian spouse if you have one this morning. Don't take that faithful. Praise God for a faithful spouse this morning. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Because of all, if you think about, you know, one of the big, you know, things today is infidelity between married folks, infidelity, people having, as they call it, extramarital affairs. We call it, like the Bible calls it, adultery. And it's happening all over America today. It's not only happening with the unsaved, it's happening with the saved, and unfortunately it's happening with pastors all over this country, all over the world. So praise God this morning if you have a Christian spouse, if you're equally yoked, amen. But praise God, maybe you're not equally yoked, but praise God that you have a faithful spouse, that spouse doesn't run around on you, praise God. Praise God for these things. And praise God if you do have a job, amen. Praise God that you have a job. You know, a lot of times we go in and we complain and we joke, I work for the government, we're always complaining. We're never happy, amen. You know, they never pay us enough. But praise God, I have a good job and I praise God for it. And if you have a job, praise God for it. If you don't have a job, Paul said, in whatever state you are is to be content, amen. Praise God for that, whatever state you're in. Praise God if you're on unemployment. Praise God there is unemployment. Praise God there is Social Security. You know, praise God, there is some kind of a check coming in, some kind of disability or whatever it may be. But praise God for that. How about praising God for a good night's sleep, amen? You know, I never knew what a good night's sleep meant until I had this thing with anxiety and panic attacks, and I was afraid to close my eyes at night because I thought I was going to die. Every night it was the same thing. I was afraid to go to sleep. You know, you'd wake up and go to sleep. You'd wake up and go to sleep, and then finally you'd be so tired, you'd go to sleep. But a good night's rest, praise God, what a good night's to be able to lay down in bed, rest your head on the pillow and poop out, and then just wake up in the morning. Praise God for a good night's sleep. But we never praise God for that. It's taken for granted blessing. Praise God for our Praise God for our salvation this morning. Praise God that you and I, if you're a Christian today, we don't have to face that lake of fire someday. Praise God that someday our future, our destiny is streets of gold, as we sang, when we all get to heaven, you know, we'll tread on streets of gold. We're going to be on walking on streets of gold, praise God, even though these new Bible perversions want to take the gold out of heaven, amen. King James Bible says it's gold up there. The Word of God says it's gold. It's gold in heaven, amen. It's a prepared place. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood. In fact, this morning, if you're saved, it tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, as ye have, therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And look in verse 7 in Colossians chapter 2. It says, rooted and builded up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So if you're in Jesus Christ this morning, if you're saved, the scriptures tell us you should be abounding. You know, not just thanking God, but abounding, you know, abounding with thanksgiving, amen. Thank God this morning. Thank God this morning, not only for our salvation, but thank God this morning for the scriptures, amen. Praise God that we can have the Word of God, that we can trust in the King James Bible, that we know in our hand that we hold the Word of God, that He has preserved it, that He's kept His promise, that He would preserve His Word not only in the original autographs and He inspired them, but He would keep that inspiration even in the Word of God today in the King James Bible. Praise God that that's what we can trust, and we can place our faith not only in the Savior, but in the Scriptures and what it says. We can read it and know that this is God's Word and depend upon it, that it won't change like everything else in this helter-skelter world changes. The Savior never changes. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. And His words are settled forever in heaven. Praise God. The Scriptures cannot be broken, praise God, amen. Praise God for the Savior, praise God for the Scriptures. Praise God this morning for the sanctuary, for this building, praise God, that we can come together and gather together. Where two or three are gathered together, I am there in your presence, the Lord says. He's here with us this morning. Praise God for the sanctuary. Over in Psalm 100 in chapter 4, in verse number 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. And it's talking about coming into the sanctuary, coming to church, assembling together, praise God. We should be entering those doors in the morning with thanksgiving and praising and thanking his name, amen. I thank God. Thank God for this building this morning. Thank God the lights are on. Thank God this heat, amen. Thank God for the sanctuary. Thank God this morning. You should thank God this morning for the saints of God, for the body of Christ, for your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ this morning, amen. We should thank God for them. We should thank God for each other here this morning, praise God. And we should thank God for not only those here this morning, but all of those around this country and around the world today that are assembling together as the body of Christ to worship the Lord this morning. We should thank God. Did you ever run into someone, you know, that's a Christian and you've been on travels, and they're like an old friend, like you've known them for years because they know the Savior? That's the bond that keeps us strongly together is the Lord Jesus Christ. You bump into a Christian, you get talking, it's like you've known them for years, amen. You've known him for years. You can be away from home, but you can't be lonely. If you find, you got the Savior with him, but if you find another Christian and you can sit down and talk with him, praise God for the saints this morning. And praise God this morning for the servants of God, the servants of God. Praise God for your pastor and his family this morning, amen. Praise God for them. Praise God for a faithful man of God that will come up here week in and week out and take a stand on the Word of God. And no matter what the world says or what all these other liberal churches will say, that the man of God and his family will stand behind you in this church and be there for you. And no matter what the world does and anybody else will do, we'll take a stand on the King James Bible, the Word of God. We'll preach it and teach it the way it should be. Praise God for the servants of God. Amen. But all of these things, our health, our family, our job, a good night's sleep, salvation, the scriptures, the sanctuary, the saints, the servants of God, unfortunately, these are all things that are taken for granted blessings and we should thank the Lord for. That we should thank the Lord for. In fact, the Bible tells us, as Christians today, we're called a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Now, we know back in the Old Testament, the priests offered up sacrifices of animals and so forth and so on. As today, as spiritual priests, in the body of Christ, we don't have to do that, praise God. It'd get kind of messy. I wouldn't enjoy doing it. I don't like slaughtering animals anyways, praise God. But praise God, we don't have to do that. But we can do something else. As priests, we're to give up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, I'll read that to you, 13:15, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." That's a spiritual sacrifice when we give thanks to the Lord. As priests, we're to give thanks to the Lord. That's a spiritual sacrifice, the spiritual sacrifice. So we see then, number one this morning, that we should give thanks to God in everything. Point number two is we should thank God for everything, the emphasis on the word for. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll be there in a second. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Remember the story of Elijah as he challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He challenged them to a contest to see who was serving the true and living God. He told them to call on their God first. And they did, remember, and nothing happened. They went all crazy. They said all kinds of prayers. They cut themselves and so forth and so on. Nothing happened. When they got through, Elijah called upon the living God, and what happened? Fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And why was that? Because Elijah's God was alive. After that, everyone knew that Elijah's God was alive. You know, it's a tragic commentary on America this morning that once this country had a faith in the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now it's fast becoming a heathen nation. You know, this country once had trusted in the living God, which is an evident. Every time you take a bill, you know, a dollar bill, $5, it says, "In God we trust" on it. Can you imagine, "In God we trust" is printed on our currency? And believe it or not, every time you pass a bill, it's a testimony, it's a witness. It says, "In God we trust." But that's not, unfortunately, happening today anymore in America. We're not trusting in God anymore. We're trusting on man and systems. We're trusting on, be it the social security system or the welfare system or the defense system or whatever it is, we're trusting on man and system and not God anymore. Many are seriously seeking God for revival all across America today. That's the only hope for our children, is a revival in this country. America is moving farther and farther away from the God that made this country great. Do you realize that our Ivy League schools, for example, Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, you know, Brown, the Ivy League schools, as we think about, these schools were once set up to teach young men. They were built to teach young men to be trained in the Word of God and set out to minister. But this is no longer the case. What are they teaching there now? If you go to Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, and so forth and so on, yeah, they still have a school of divinity there. But it's not teaching and preaching what's out of this book. It's another gospel. It's blasphemy. It's just about anti-God is what they're teaching at the university. These same places that were set up to train young men, to teach them the Word of God, and to go out and start churches and so forth and so on, look what it's become. That's why education was started up in this country. Our public schools, believe it or not, once met in church buildings, and pastors taught young people reading, writing, and arithmetic, social studies, and about God from the Word of God. But that's not what they teach anymore. Are you kidding me? They pulled the prayer out. They pulled the prayer out of school because they didn't want to offend anybody. After the prayer came out, they pulled out the Ten Commandments and the Bible. Do you realize you can have a penthouse, playboy, playgirl, and it's okay in school, but if you have a Bible, you get in big trouble. Tell us where we've come to. Tell us they've taken. You know, you can get everything else. You can get a condom in school if you want. You can get birth control pills if you want. You can't even get an education in the schools anymore. That's the sad point. The biggest problem they face back then, when the schools first started up, was throwing a spitball. But today, little Johnny might just pull out a pistol and shoot his teacher. That's how bad it's come. It's not only in the city, We know it's not only in the cities, it's reached out to the suburbs. So don't think you're at home this morning safe. I'm in Billerica and Wilmington, and none of this happens. It happens here. It happens in our communities, and it happens in our towns. Our political leaders at one time were godly men. Maybe not every one of them had trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but they were what we call deists. They believed that there was a God. They believed in God. You know, too many today, too many of our decisions are made by our leaders to just basically pacify some special interest groups to get elected or because of greed. Still, in spite of all the trouble in this country, we are the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. We should thank God for everything, especially that we have been born into a country and still reaping the benefits of godly forefathers. We should thank him. I had you turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 20. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says all things. This morning we should thank him for our land. You know, we are, in America, the most blessed people on the face of the earth. We should be constantly thanking the Lord Jesus Christ for allowing us to be born in this country. Instead of, say, being born in the streets of Calcutta. People are born in India on the streets. You know, praise God that we were born in this country. When we see the bad shape some of the foreign countries are in domestically, economically, spiritually, and politically, etc., we cannot help but feel that God has blessed us to allow us to be born in a wonderful place like America. Did you know that the American people are the most blessed people on this earth? We are the envy of the world. Did you ever notice when people leave other countries, where do they go? Where are the Cubans going? Are they going over to Russia? No, they're going to Miami. You know, where are the Haitian boat people going? Where are they going? They're going to some other third world country or South American country. They all want to come to America. We're the envy of the world because God has blessed us. Yet, we do most of the belly aching and fault finding and complaining of any people on the face of this earth. You know, we've had missionaries come and present their work. We saw Brother Sarah come and he presented his work to Zambia in Africa. And he said people would see them coming and they knew they were God, men of God, and they'd fall down at their feet. Of course, they'd tell them to come up that they weren't God, but they were just privileged and honored to have them there. And as rural as the area was and as remote as the area was and as primitive as, say, their... You know, we take for granted, for example, having a nice warm place to use the bathroom, amen. Well, that's not the case over in Africa. I mean, we saw the situation over there. But those people don't complain. And here we are complaining. Toilet tissue's too rough on me, you know? That's what it is. We complain about everything. Almost every day we see a large number of people in this country protesting something. More often than not, it's something that's against the Bible, against the Word of God. They're fighting the very one, when they do this, that gave them this country and made this country great. You know, in fact, protesting has become so popular that we have professional protests. It's the same people, same groups that go around and protest. That's all they do for a living. Has God shown partiality to America? It seems that he has. But actually, this is not the case. Brave, godly men, our forefathers, had a living faith in the living God. They were willing to do what many are not willing to do today, give all for the good of their nation. We have politicians now. We don't have any statesmen. They don't do all for the good of the nation. They do all for the good of themselves. They go into office and they make money. That's not what it's all about. They're supposed to be a public servant. America is still reaping the blessings because our godly forefathers built for this nation by their faith in God and his word, and a few Bible believers left in this country today who are not afraid to take a stand for the word of God, for the Lord. So this country is still reaping the blessings not only of our forefathers, but also because of the few Bible-believing churches like ours today that are taking a stand for the things of the Lord. But CNN, ABC, CBS, and NBC all remind us every day of people in foreign countries who are struggling to survive. What they do not report is that these people serve false gods. They're heathen nations. For example, in Latin America is predominantly what? Roman Catholic. Well, let's look at the populace there. They're poor and starving. Yes, there's a connection between the Roman Catholicism and they're poor and starving. It's a heathen nation. It's a heathen nation. They're worshiping worshiping a religion that has a form of godliness, as the Bible says, but denying the power thereof. How about India? We look at India, another big country. They worship the cow. They don't kill their cows. The cow is sacred. They worship that cow. People are poor and starving, and the cows are running around having a great time. You know, and they have people dying on the streets of Calcutta every day. It's another heathen nation. How about the Asian countries? They're either into Buddha or Confucius or some Eastern religion. And again, you look, the majority of the people, the populace, they're poor and starving. They're dying every day. Again, another heathen nation. How about the African nations? The African nations. Again, the populace, are starving and poor over there. And what do they worship? They worship a religion, a fourth spirit religion, Buddha, and all this other stuff. And how about the Arab countries? Arab countries. In the Arab countries, yes, there are some very rich people because of the oil, so forth and so on. You have a very small elite of very, very rich people. And again, the whole rest of the populace is very poor. They live terribly. Again, this nation, the Arabic nations, are Muslims. They don't worship the living and true God. They pray. All these countries, these people pray probably more than you and I pray. But the difference is, like the prophets of Baal, they pray to a God that is dead. When you and I pray, we pray to a loving, living God, praise God. And I've said this many, many times over and over again, and I want to be redundant, but I would rather pray this morning to a living, risen Savior than a bunch of dead saints that have been canonized by some religion based on pagan Baal worship. Amen. So we should thank God for this country, for our land this morning. Number two, we should thank God for our lineage. We should thank God for those of us who have been blessed. We should thank God daily for those of us who have been blessed with good parents. You know, I know it's very difficult for those who have been not born with good parents this morning. It's very hard. It's very hard. You know, some children were born into a loving, caring family, and there's no struggle at all for them to serve the Lord. But others were born into homes where it was constant strain just to survive. It was a survival thing, not to get killed, not to get hurt, not to get maimed. Children who were born into difficult circumstances often wonder why they were born into such families. Still, as hard as it may seem, they're to give thanks for all things because they'll have an opportunity to do something for the Lord that the other children who were born into these loving families do not have. I believe when those children of those families that had difficult circumstances, when you get to heaven, your reward is going to be greater than others that were born into good homes because things were easier for those people. So your rewards in heaven are going to be greater, I believe. So we should thank God for our lineage and our land. And finally, point number three this morning, we should thank God with everything. We should thank God not only in everything, for everything, but we should thank God with everything. Turn to Psalm 150. Psalm 150 with me this morning. Psalm 150, the last psalm in the book of Psalms. It says in verse number 3, it says, praise him. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So So we should praise him with everything, with instruments, it tells us. Number one, instruments. You know, God has blessed many, many people with the ability to play musical instruments. Some people seem to have a tremendous talent. In fact, when they pick up a musical instrument, you know, when you close your eyes, you may think you're actually walking down the streets of glory as they play that instrument. If a person possesses such a talent, he should be using that talent in some way for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, but if you think about it today, you know, we have this thing that's called Christian rock. There's nothing Christian about it at all. You know, every once in a while they'll throw in the word Jesus or God, but it'll still have the beat of the world, the call of the world. And if you go into these so-called Christian bookstores and you look at the album covers on the CDs now or the cassettes or whatever, the covers are the same way as the covers on worldly rock albums. You know, maybe the person has a wee bit more clothing on them, but they're very similar if you take a look. So it's a joke. But we should thank God for the instrument. There's nothing evil with, you know, the organ and the piano or a trumpet or a cymbal or a flute or whatever it is. There's nothing evil about that. But those things were created to bring honor and glory to God. And that's what we should use them for. We should thank God with everything, with musical instruments this morning. Who should praise the Lord? The individual. You and I should praise the Lord. Notice the word says, let everything, in the last verse of Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's if you're living, and we living, let's check. I'm alive. Are you alive? You're alive today. Amen. If you're living, you should praise the Lord. Aren't you glad the Bible didn't say that everyone that can sing well praise the Lord? God simply said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Why is it then that everybody praises everything else except the Lord? We all know people who Thursday's coming up, Turkey Day. Well, not only the turkey, but we got football. College football and professional football, so forth and so on. And we know people love, will get together and they'll talk for hours about football. Be it football or anything or any sports team, they'll praise them. I mean, that's what it is on the weekend. You know, I go into work and that's all people are talking, how the Patriots did or how this one did, and they spend all time. But when I go and I try to witness to someone, someone will tell me, go find a church. You know, to preach, you know? But we do, people praise everything but the Lord. People praise objects, not only sports teams, but they praise objects. For example, have you ever talked to people who love cars? You know, you might talk to a person that's a Chevrolet person or a Ford person or whatever car they love, and that's all. They can't say enough thing about the car they love. You know, they're into cars. And be it any other subject, you know what I'm talking about. They'll praise anything but the Lord. So it seems today, people today praise and give thanks to everything except God. One of the sweetest verses in the Bible this morning is in Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, in chapter 3, verse 16. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. It says, then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. One day, when you get to heaven, God's going to say to you, do you know what you said about me on November 20th, 1994? That's today's date. And we're going to say, Lord, to be honest, I had no idea what I said that day. Then Jesus is going to open up this book of remembrance that we talked about in Malachi. And Christian, what will Jesus say to you that you said? Will he say that you gave him thanks or praise today? Will it be that you shared a testimony about him today? Will it be that you tried to share the gospel and tell someone the greatest love story I've ever told in John 3:16? Or will it be that he said that you used his name in vain, or you cussed someone out, or you gave yourself the praise and glory for something God did in your life, or you spent time praising your sports team or where you went to eat that day? Jesus said one day we are going to give account of every idle word that we speak. One day, many Christians are going to be sorry that they praised and gave thanks to everything except God. We should spend every day thanking Him and praising Him, not just at Thanksgiving. We should say a blessing over every meal that we eat, not just at Thanksgiving. Not just at Thanksgiving. You know, Christians today remind me of the story of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, turn there for a moment. Let's just look at that. We'll be done in a second. In Luke chapter 17, in verse 11 it says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. They were lepers which stood afar off." See, lepers were to stand afar off, and as they came to someone, they saw someone they were approaching, they were to yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that person would know not to approach them. So we see 10 men standing afar off, and they lifted up their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show thyself unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were clean, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, their faith hath made me whole." Are you like the 9 lepers this morning, Christian? Have you gone off and he's blessed you beyond compare, and you've gone off skipping and having a great time, and you've forgotten, like this 10th leopard, to fall down at his feet and praise God and give glory and thank him for what he's done? We've got so much to be thankful for this morning, Christian. A home in heaven. If you've got anything else, you've got a home in heaven. If you don't have a home in this earth, you've got a home in heaven. They can't take that away from you. Remember that. You've got a home in heaven. Don't forget to give thanks to God for what he's done in your life. Let us do, and I'll close with this, in Psalm 103, can we say as it says in Psalm 103, verse number 4, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits this morning, Christian. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who hath healed all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy." That's what should be on our lips each and every day, Christian. This morning the Bible tells us we should thank God in everything. We should thank God for everything, and we should thank God with everything. Do you do that, Christian? If you don't, you should. Remember, what is he going to say? What did you say when he opens that book of remembrance? What did you say about me today, November 20th, 1994? Think about that. If you don't know Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior, I'm going to give you a bit of prophecy. The prophecy is, out of this book, if you were to die without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'd go to hell. That's your future. I'm not trying to say this because I'm mean. I want to hurt anybody's feeling. But that's what the Word of God says, and it will cut you. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd urge you to get down on your knees right now and pray and receive Him. Tell Him you're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell because of your sins. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and you know, and that you tell Him that you deserve to go to hell, but that you're trusting in only His shed blood. You're not trusting in your church membership, your baptism, your good works, but only His shed blood to save you. Tell Him to save you today, that you accept Him as your Savior. Help them to live for you in Jesus' name. If you can do that and believe it in your heart, then heaven is your home. Heaven is your home. Christian, today we're going to have a time of invitation. Maybe you haven't been thankful enough to the Lord for the blessings that he's given to you. Maybe you need to make it right with him. If you need to do that or anything else this morning, won't you come? Come to this old-fashioned altar and get right with God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this message today. Help all of us here today to be more thankful, not only at Thanksgiving, but each and every day for the benefits, as it says in your word, the benefits that you loadeth us daily with, Father. Help us to exclaim, to bless thy holy name each and every day as the psalmist David did. Father, help us to be thankful for our salvation. Father, help us to be a witness and testimony for thee. Help us to do away with the idle words and give the words that will bring honor and glory to your name. Father, we just pray now during this time of invitation that the Spirit of God would have its will and its way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.